Talk about the storms of life on this wonderful day after our celebration of Canada Day. Anybody remember Canada Day? Are you all hangover? We do have hangover soup for you, waiting for you after this. I think we do have some hangover soup. We call it hangover soup in the Ojibwe. If you know Ojibwe's, we do have, it's a kind of a tomatoey, it's kind of like the Italians, but it's a little bit more native style. So it'll help you fix your hangover. So if you have that, you'll get healed. Storms of life. Overcoming storms of life. Acts 27, verse 20, the terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. I want you to think about Acts 27, 10, just for a few minutes, to think about a terrible storm. And metaphorically, we're using this to illustrate the troubles we all have in life. He says a terrible storm raged. I mean, it's one thing to have a storm, but when it's raging, it's another story, being in the storm. But when it's almost coming to kill you, or it has something against you personally, it says not just for one day, but many days. Notice this, the sun and the stars was blotted out. You know, we get energy from the sun. And it's nice to go out in the nighttime and you see the stars. It gives you that tranquility that God's there for you. It's a sign from the Almighty that He's there. So when the sun, you know, I don't know about you, but it does affect me. I notice it affects me when there's no sun. I can sense there's something that I'm not getting what I need. And when the sun is not shining, it makes you a little bit gloomy. But when this happens for a long time, and plus when the raging storm is coming, there's difficulty. Notice it says that all hope was gone. You know, there's a time in life where we have so much trouble that hope seems fadeless. I mean, faded away. There's nothing left to do except die. So today in our nation, in the church even, we're going through storms, just like the Bible predicted. Many are getting overwhelmed because they haven't perhaps maybe paid attention enough to the Bible or what it says. Many of us in this room will go through storms. Where maybe we're going through a storm right now. And if you haven't gone through a storm yet, there'll be some. And one time I said this not too long ago, that we'll have storms, we'll have troubles. Somebody said, nah, bless God, I'm not going to have any storms. Well, you haven't read your Bible. You will go through storms. And so we have to be understanding of this, so we have to figure out what does the Bible say about this. So storms will make you feel helpless at times and hopeless, and even feel devastated, like all hope is gone. We all want a vision of tomorrow, a better vision, and mom and dad gave these young couple, they're hoping the best for them. We all want the best for our lives and for our own children. So what does the Bible say about storms? It tells us, some people tell us around some Christian circles, that storms are there for a reason. God's sending those storms to you to teach you something, to make you grow up or to get you in line. Others tell us that God will allow storms to help us grow up spiritually. But you and I, if you believe the Bible, you would say nay and nay. You know, God doesn't send you storms to teach you something. There's another God of this world, and He's sending those storms your way. And storms is going to hit everybody, not just a few. The Bible shows us that many have gone through storms and lived to tell about it. Noah, the Bible says, went through a storm and lasted 40 days and 40 nights. It wasn't his fault that the storm came. And if you read the Bible carefully, you understand that the storm was a result of other people's lifestyle. The sinfulness of other people around him affected that one righteous man and his family. You understand that people in this world, the condition of this world affects us. And this is the Bible. The Bible says this world right now is under the management of the devil. And, you know, the Bible says that Satan is a god of this world. He's the prince of the world. Jesus called him the prince of the world 3 times in John there. And in the second Corinthians 4:4, Paul called Satan the god of this world. Remember when Jesus was confronted by the devil, he said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you everything you want. He told Jesus that. I believe in Luke chapter 6 or 4 verse 6. Jesus, he says, if you bow before me, I'm going to give you all this, whatever you want in this world. The devil bargained with you. He said, if you don't just do this, I'll give you this. But he's lying about it. And he told Jesus, I'll give you this if you do these things for me, if you worship me. You see, if it wasn't that real, if he wasn't God of this world, Jesus would never have been tempted. And he calls him the prince and power of the air. Paul does. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he calls the devil and his king, all his demons, the prince and power of the air. Now, he's controlling things. And if you're not careful, you'll accept things and believe it's God's will. So you must resist those things and believe God when he tells you that you can overcome. So the people in Noah's day affected his life. You know, we live in this world where trouble is. Like the Psalm 23rd Psalm says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and this world is called the valley of the shadow of death, because this is where darkness is, and this is where a lot of trouble is. And this is where demons prevailing in this world. We're walking right now. We're confronting them every day. You know, but they're not to overcome you. Jesus said, or the scripture says, 1 John 4:4, says that he that is within you is greater than he that's in the world. So you have the greater one living in you to help you overcome. So, as we mentioned, it says in Psalm 23, in verse 4, the Good News Bible says this. Even if I walk through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid. So it's you and I have a decision to make before any storm comes. And I want to tell you right now, a storm is coming. And you have to make sure, decide right now what you're going to do about it. You have to decide right now that it's not going to take you. You have to decide right now what your reaction will be when it comes. Are you going to say, oh, man, I knew this was going to happen. Why does it always happen to me? When I try to serve God, look at all this happen now. No, wait a minute. You're not the only one. First Peter, you know, says that, you know, in chapter 5, I believe it's verse 8 and 9, it says, your brothers all over the world having the same problem. So you're not alone. And so you're going to understand this. You have to make sure right now, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. So you're going to decide whether fear overtakes you, paralyzes you. So storms are caused sometimes by our own selves. You bought that big truck. And now you have to pay. You said, the devil attacked me. No, you attacked yourself. Right? That's why I try not to attack myself around here. I have to make sure. You know, you better ask your wife, Luke, whether to buy that truck or not. He says, Lord, should I buy? And your Lord says, Luke, listen, don't buy that truck. You'll be okay, Luke. Okay, do you understand? I know there's no truck involved, but it could be those little So Jonah, anybody remember Jonah? Well, he went through a storm because of his disobedience. Disobedience. And I was talking about Brother Hagin. You know, the higher you walk, the longer you walk with God, the road gets narrow and narrower. Did you notice that when you're a kid in your home, you can get away with more things as a little kid, right? You can jump on top the couch with your shoes on, nothing too much happens. They'll take you down, right? But if you did that when you're 14, it's a different story. You go flying out the window. You know, where do you want to go, through the door or there? But anyway, you have more freedom when you're younger. But as a Christian, you have more freedom, and you know, to do a lot of things. You know, I go here, I do this, do that. But when you're walking with God for a long time and you know God, there's a little bit less. God doesn't say, "Hey, listen, get back here." When you're younger, you could do whatever, watch any kind of movie you want, eat anything you want. I remember a story. Brother Hagin gave us a story. He always gives us an illustration. He said he's preaching in a church, and he fell off on the floor just like this here. He pulled out his shoulder really badly, and he was very injured so badly in that church. There was a head nurse from one of the hospitals, and they said, "Oh, yeah, I know Dr. So-and-so. He's over there at the church. I was working there today. He's going to be there tonight in the emergency, so you might want to run up there." And so he got injured, so they took Brother Hagin from the service there, took him to the hospital. And he said, "Well, he's sitting in the car." He said, "I'm sitting in the back seat, and I heard the Lord speak to him." He said, "I'm going to talk to you." He says to people, "Did you hear that?" Nobody didn't hear anything. So he went to the hospital. They took x-rays and all that stuff. They said to him, the good news, bad news. The good news is that you didn't break your arm. The bad news is that it's worse than breaking your arm. You pull out your socket, all the ligaments, and everything's out of whack, and it's going to take a long time to be healed. And so you're going to have that sling at least, you're going to be in the sling for at least 6 months. Well, for a preacher, that's not a good news if you're traveling all over the country. You need that arm, especially when people hand you money. Anyway, you always try to joke about that because people believe. There's one time a boy was dying in swallowed a coin back in the church door. And he said, "Man, oh man, everybody's all getting crazy in the back. Asked, what's happening? You know, call the ambulance, call 911. He said, no, call the preacher. He knows how to get money out of people." He's choking on his money. Anyway, the guy says, You're going to be in that sling for at least 6 months to start off with, and I don't know what else. So anyway, he's sitting in there. He's in the hospital, and he's all alone. Everybody left him, and he's in there alone. He's laying there thinking about things. And he said, "I heard somebody walking down the hallway and coming to the front in my room." He said, "I heard the door open, and here was Jesus." He said, "You disobeyed me." Now, we're talking about disobedience getting into trouble. Remember, Jonah was disobeyed God. So he disobeyed God. He said, I told you back there when I appeared to you, I'm giving you a prophet's anointing. And you are a teacher, all right? But you put the teaching anointing because you like to teach better than you like to flow in the anointing of the prophet. You don't like to be the prophet. So he says, "You are going to have to," he said, you deviated from what I told you to do. He said, you put the prophet's ministry second when you should have put it first. And because you did that, you opened the door to the devil to come and enter your life. I told you something there. I said, when you're up further up ahead, older in life, it's a little bit different when God deals with you when somebody else is younger. You might see somebody else, a Christian, who's doing whatever they want. They don't know anything, but you know better. God speaks to you in your heart, and you said no. Then you wonder why you have some trouble. And so the Lord said to him, "I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal you from that. You'll be healed quicker than what they told you. But he said, I'm going to heal you 99%. I'm going to leave 1% of that to show you, to always remind you to obey me. He said, I can just sense that once a little bit, but I always remember that I should obey God. Just, he said, just to, he said, here's what he said. This is an amazing thing. He said, you told me, I told you about that ministry. He said, I could have told you, you asked yourself, why didn't you tell me about that before? And there was a discussion he had with them. He says, the devil, he said, if I didn't leave you, if I would have just healed you right away, prevented that happening, he says, the devil had a plan to kill you. And he said, if I didn't allow him to inflict you a little bit, you would have kept on going and he would have killed you. You know? So, but the Lord delivered him out of that situation, but he still had to suffer some consequence because of his life. I'll tell you something right now. Some of you are having consequences of your mistakes. Yes, God forgive you. Yes, God healed you. God delivered you, but you're still suffering effects. I'm suffering effects from my old drinking days. I still have those effects, some marks, but I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm free. I don't have any anxiety attacks anymore. I used to have them terribly. I used to be such bad anxiety attacks, I have to go to the hospital, just like my mother did. My mother had anxiety attacks and had to go to the hospital. I would see the ambulance come and take her. She'd go, you know, I'd be the same way. But the Lord healed me. And I'd wake up with sweats at night and all that kind of stuff, chills, heart pounding. But I was like that. It says in here in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I decided I'm going to do that. You need to decide. Lift your hand up, say, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. See, you have to decide that right now when the trouble comes, that I'm not going to let it move me. I'm not going to let it take me. That's a decision you make. God wants you. There was a prophetic word here earlier of Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, I am thy God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will be with you. I'll uphold you with the hand of my righteousness. God will do that for you. Are you still here or are you gone home? All right. That's a good story, is it? Good story. So Jonah went through a storm because of his disobedience, and it affected him because of the people that was near to him. It affected those around. Jonah's disobedience affected other people. Your disobedience is going to affect people around you. When you disobey God, remember, when you disobey God, it's going to affect somebody around you, those people who love you, those people around you when you make wrong decisions, and it's going to be there for a while. Right? It will. So let's read Jonah chapter 1, starting from verse 5. Jonah chapter 1, verse 5. Let's read the King James Version for the effect of it. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a great mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and they cried out every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea and light to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down the side of the ship, and he lay and he was fast asleep. Now, those guys were throwing out all these things to save their lives. Man, they're losing things. You think people, when you make a mistake, people might lose stuff because of your mistake, right? So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God, if be so that God will think upon us, that we perish not. I mean, they're afraid they're going to die. They said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause or who's the cause of this. This evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and a lot fell upon Jonah. So they knew at least something. There's something going on here. Somebody's the cause of this trouble. Then they said to him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for thou, whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and where is thy country? What people art thou?" He said unto them, "I am a Hebrew, I fear God, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why thou hast done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then he said unto them, "What shall we do unto thee? The sea may come unto us." And the sea wrath was tempest. He said unto them, "Take heed, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so that the sea shall be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." So at least he knew that he was the cause of this situation. So what are you saying? We're saying that we can cause other people trouble when we cause a storm in our families, we cause a storm in our churches, we cause a storm in our businesses, we cause a storm in our community, because of our actions affected so many other people. And as I mentioned, we'll go through storms. Notice this. This is a scripture for you to understand. Psalm 34:19, the Bible says, "The righteous person will face many troubles." Everybody say, many troubles. But notice this. "But the Lord will come to rescue them each time." In other words, every time you have a trouble, God is going to be there to rescue you. So you might go through troubles. And if you look at that problem again, but the devil will tell you this. This is the last time you got away last time. But this time you're going to die. So the devil will begin to attack you and attack you and attack you. But you're going to have to say, "No, I've seen this trouble before. God got me out of that one time. He'll get me out of it again." So thank God for that, right? So we will all go through storms of various kinds, no matter who we are. The storms could be a financial problem, could be a marriage problem, could be a family business situation, could be a social, could be an economic situation in your area, could be sickness, could be health, could be any kind of thing in your life. The storm is there. Jesus used the word storms as a metaphor or a figure of speech. He said in there, in Matthew chapter 7, where he used that, Matthew 7, 24 to 29, I'm reading the Common English Bible for easy reading and understanding. "Everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise builder who built his house upon a bedrock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon against that house, and it fell because it was firmly set on the bedrock. But everybody, listen to this, who hears my words of mine and doesn't put them into practice will be like a fool who built his house upon his sand." You could be in the church service hearing the same word at the same time the other guy is, and then you leave and you get devastated, the other guy doesn't. Why? Jesus gives us the answer. And he gives you the answer about troubles and trials. They're going to come. It's what you do before it happens. I made up my mind, no matter what happens, I'm going to be solid. I'm going to be stable. Not because I'm great, but because God is great, and he said he'd keep me. That's why it says in the psalmist says, those who trust in the Lord will never be afraid of bad news. Why? Because he knows his God's going to help him. So, verse 27, the rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon against that house, and it fell. It was completely destroyed. When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. You know, you ever get amazed about something? How does it look when you're amazed? Right? Everybody go, "Ooh." Come on, go, "Ooh." Yeah, so that's what happens. You get amazed, right? You ever go to a hockey game? Somebody gets a shot, "Ooh." So, the crowd was amazed. Verse 29, and he was teaching them with someone with authority, not like the scribes. In John 16:33, here's another scripture that tells you that troubles will come to all of us. He said these things to them. He said the Common English, John 16:33. He said, "These things I said to you because you will have peace in me." That means you'll have peace in the scriptures or in the Bible and what I said to you. That's what he's talking about. In the world, you'll have distress, but be encouraged, I will overcome the world. So you have to decipher the scripture and understand this and put it to terms to how you where you're living. The New Living says, I've told you all these things so that you have peace in me. Here on earth, you'll have many kinds of trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. I'll read the Amplified of that version. I've told you these things so that in me you might have perfect peace. That's what we want. In this world, you'll have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous, be confident, undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished. My victory is abiding. Let's look at another person who had trouble in life. And this man by the name of Paul and his company. Thank God, you know, it's nice to be with somebody who knows the Bible or knows God when you got trouble. Okay? Here, the Apostle Paul, in Acts 27, verse 15 to 20, Paul went through storms in his life because the enemy opposed him for God's plan in his life. An enemy will oppose you because there's a plan for your life. For the people who wanted, you know, Paul was sent to people, and the devil did not want that message to be sent to people so that they'd be strong and victorious and follow God's plans. So the devil will try to go after a minister, go after a church, go after maybe your relative who knows the Bible and try to discourage and stop those people. So you have all the, you guys have the word. The enemy is going to make sure you are prevented from taking that message to your relatives, your family. He's going to discourage you in many, many ways to not talk to them. So even though Paul was following God's plan, he still had troubles. Remember this, Paul had trouble. He was following God's plan. God says to him, Paul, you're going to go to Caesar. You will see Caesar. And yet he had still had trouble. Okay, so let's look back at the time when Paul and his company fell into this great storm. But God preserved them. He was on a mission. He had a purpose. And you and I have a mission. We have a purpose. But that doesn't mean we're not going to have any trouble. Read Acts chapter 27, verse 15 to 20. Five verses of scripture. The weather changed abruptly. The wind typhoon strength called Northeaster burst across the land and blew upon the sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship to the wind, so they gave up and ran before the gale. We sailed along the sheltered side of the small island named Claudia, and were great difficulty. We hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. The sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it, and they were afraid being driven across the sandbars. They also lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship, and they were driven before the wind. The next day, the gale force winds continued to batter the ship, and the crews began throwing cargo overboard. Here's another situation again. You saw that in Jonah, they threw cargo over, and in this situation, they threw cargo again. So in difficulties, sometimes you lose stuff. You lose money, you lose something, resources along the way. So if you're going through a trial, the devil might try to steal your resources. But know that God will always help you. He'll help you again. You know, how many times have you gone through that situation? So it says in here, the following day, they took the ship's gear and threw it overboard. Verse 20, the terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until last the ship, all hope was gone. See, Paul had to was appealing to Caesar, so he was going there. The Lord says, you're going to appear before Caesar, because he told them that way before, you're going to talk to governors and kings and so on. You'll stand before great men, and this was part of it. And so the Lord says, you're going to go there, but on the way there, they encountered this ship. Their ship encountered this huge force of wind. And so we see here, just because Paul was on a mission and he was serving God with his whole heart, he gave up his whole life to serve God, and yet he had all these troubles. So what we're saying, just because you're devoted to God, you're devoted to Jesus, doesn't mean you'll never encounter a trial in your life. So whenever you're going through a trial, you should say, well, you know, I never had this trouble when I was not born again. I've heard people say that lots of times. Now that I'm saved, you know, why do I have this trouble? So you see that situation there. You see Jonah. You see over here Jesus. You know, these guys here, Paul and his the people there, they encountered this trouble. So here's another one, another example, that a storm hit the disciples and Jesus himself. Jesus is God's son, and he had storms. You know, he had trials. So if he had trial, we're going to have trials too. So the storm will hit all of us at some point in our life. If it hasn't hit you yet, it'll hit somewhere along the line. So walking close to God doesn't mean that you'll never encounter a storm. So imagine the Son of God. Ask yourself some questions about some storms. You know, in this story that we're going to read here, how did those disciples respond when the storm came? What was Jesus' response to them about the storm? How will you and I act during a storm? Let's go read here Matthew chapter 8, verse 24 to 27, and see the reaction. Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Remember in chapter 5, I believe it is in Mark, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. You remember that word he gave them? Let's go to the other side. And while they were going over to the other side, they encountered this storm right here we're reading right now. Now let's read the rest of it. He got into the boat, started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm had struck the lake, and waves were breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. So whenever we encounter trials, we always think that God doesn't care, he doesn't listen to us. Where is God in my storm? There's a book out here we have in the library. We gave a whole pile of books away. We gave boxes and boxes of books last couple of days in this little meeting that we went to. We just gave all these books. There's one book called Where is God During My Storm? So if you want it, it's out there. In fact, we might give it to you for free. So suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake, it says there. Verse 26, Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man, they asked. Even the winds and waves obey him. These disciples responded in fear. And the storm, you know, in the storm, you know, they were experienced people working in the sea, and they were devastated. They were afraid. They thought they were going to die. They said, Jesus, aren't you afraid? If you read different version, it says, they were so afraid, they said they were going to die. He said, Jesus, aren't you afraid we're going to die? And I'm sure people here in this room have said the same thing when you're going through a trial. You know, I was looking at our editor back here, and I don't know, I'll share. Can I share some of that story? Is that okay? You know, this guy's working on the messages regularly. And the doctor calls him in, said, I want to talk to you. And the doctor said to him, you know, you have, I'm sorry to tell you, you have this terrible disease. You got MS. For a young man in his age, I mean, to tell you, you know, you have this. And then all of a sudden, family tells you, now you're going to be in a wheelchair. You got to get ready to go in the home, and all this kind of stuff is going on. You ever notice that? You get a bad report, and all of a sudden, this spreads around, and all of a sudden, everybody's telling you. You know, it's not a good news that you're a young person. You're going to, you know, you can be confined to a wheelchair maybe at home, and everybody's going to have to feed you and whatever eventually. But, you know, I saw his reaction when the doctor told him that. He just said, nope, I believe in God. I don't care what the doctor says. I'm believing God. You know, a man of faith, or he's got to be crazy, or doesn't know anything. No, you know, you've got to be crazy enough to believe God, no matter what the trouble is. So next, the doctor called him later on, a few days later, said, you know, I think these guys have a, this is not true. I think that the Lord is turning this thing. I believe the Lord turned it around, the whole thing around. Because what if he acted in fear and, you know, I would think it would have gotten worse. There's some people in this room that had certain things wrong with them. All of a sudden, you're seeing yourself dead because of a diagnosis or something like that. You know, whenever a trial comes. So if you can just stop being afraid, that's why the Bible says, I will not be afraid. As soon as anxiety hits you, then it goes south, right? We don't want that to happen. So, you know, these guys, God tells us how to respond. We need to respond. In Psalm 112, verse 7, I believe this is a good scripture for even this case that I just mentioned. He said, those people who trust God, in verse 1, Psalm 112, verse 1, talks about those who trust God, who rely on God, who depend on God. Verse 7 says, they will not fear bad news because they confidently trust the Lord. The word trust means to put faith in, rely on, depend on God. So if you trust God with your life, you will depend on him to keep you during the storm, no matter what the difficulty is. So, you know, an angel, of course, appeared to Paul. He said, don't be afraid, Paul. You and the whole crew will live and not die. And I'm going to save all the people, but you will lose cargo. You'll lose the ship. But every person's life will be saved. That's good news. At least you can get another boat. Get another loan. Go to the insurance if you got insurance. So, let's conclude this. You have to plan ahead. You have to plan right now what your response is going to be. And your response is going to be what God's word says. He said, I will not be afraid. Why? Because I trust God. He's going to take care of me. What you do spiritually every day will determine your outcome. You know, an athlete, Olympian, he doesn't train the day before he goes into the meet, 100 yard or dash, whatever. He trains for a long time. I was reading this morning, an athlete will travel, for that one little section that he's going to compete for a championship, that guy, like maybe a swimmer, he'll swim, I don't know how many hours, 6 hours a day for so many years for that one meet. A runner will do the same thing. And yet some of us, we think, oh, I'll just read a few scriptures, I should be okay. And then there's cancer coming. You wonder why you can't stand up against something because you only read two scriptures. It never even got into your heart. You just read it over the top of your head. Meditation of the word will get the scripture right down in your spirit. You'll be unshakable. And Jesus tells us, God tells us to get the word into our spirit. And meditation is not just reading the scripture right away before you go and drink your coffee and run to work. Great if you can do that once in a while, but don't do it regularly. Meditate on the word. Chew the word. Talk to yourself about the word. Just say, this is the word. This word is for me. And read it to yourself. Think about it. Read it again. Even if you could quote it, just get the Bible out again and read it over again. The Bible says we should keep our eyes on the word. Keep our eyes on the word. Hear ourselves. Read it to yourself over and over. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Read it to yourself. That's why I don't like reading it with my eyes. I read a lot of scripture. I don't know how many dozens of times I read the Bible through. Dozens and dozens of times. From cover to cover. Continually. And sometimes regularly some chapters, like maybe a whole book in the morning or something. But I read it over and over and over. Why? I'm training. I'm training because I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know the future. You don't know the future. Whenever Brother Hagin used to tell his staff, when they ever had trouble, different areas, what are we going to do now? He said, what does the word say? What does the Bible say about your situation? Amen? All right, let's go and go before the Lord in prayer as we end. Thank you. You've been good listening to God's word. Team, Praise God. Look at this wonderful team coming up. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You got a prophecy? Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to receive the emblems of the body and blood of Jesus. You can take this if you're born again, if you've been repented of your sins. You said, Jesus, you're my Lord, my Savior. I thank you. You can partake of that. And the Bible says, when you take it, don't take it in a way that's disrespecting the Lord. The Bible says that's why people are weak emotionally. That's why people die early, and that's why people are sick, because they don't do this with respect of the scriptures. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible says that's what Jesus told Paul. Many people are weak emotionally and mentally because they do not respect this, the body and blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Remember, Jesus died for you. That's why we have brand new life. Right, Susan? Happy about that? Thank God. This little lady has got stronger than 10 men. She's got energy, man. Appreciate that, Susan. The cheerleader. Pastor Ken's a cherry eater. There's the body. This is the blood. Symbolically, we're going to honor the blood of Jesus, honor the body of Jesus. Jesus died for us. He took upon himself lashes upon his back so that we can receive our health, our healing, divine health. Remember, somebody said, divine healing is awesome. What did you say? Divine healing is awesome? Well, two people. But divine health is even greater. Because you don't have to be sick. When symptoms come, you can resist it. Resist that storm. Thank you, Lord.